This is ordinarily where we'd speak to Donald Fallon, but he is off being a hipster in Berghain in Berlin for the weekend. But of course, as it happens with the election being called, we are understandably taking a bit of an electoral focus this weekend. Donald, no doubt, will be back with us next week. In the meantime, we are joined on the line to discuss the election and some of the issues of the week by Sinn Féin's Justice Spokesman, Martin Kenny. Martin, thanks very much for taking our call this lunchtime. Good to talk to you. Before we talk about crime and justice and other issues, what do you make of today's Sunday Times poll, which has your party 13 points behind Fianna Fáil, but only 1 point behind Fine Gael?
Well, I suppose we're not surprised from the point of view of the response we're getting on the doorstep. We're getting a very strong response across the country. I can't speak for other parties. I know that everywhere we go, people are saying, interestingly, they're saying they're not voting for either of the two main parties, but they're tired of them, that they feel they've been in government together for the past 4 years, and they have issues with that. I'm surprised that Fianna Fáil has shown such a high rating in that poll, but, I mean, it's the poll on the day, we always say, that counts, and we're looking forward to that. Certainly, we expect that we're going to get a very good election on this occasion, and there is a very positive response coming from a lot of the platforms that we're putting forward as to how we want to change society and look forward into this new decade and be part of a government and be part of building a better Ireland. And that's really what I think people want. There's a hunger out there for change and for people to look to a different future.
That sentiment that you mentioned of holding Fianna Fáil responsible for the errors of the last 4 years, how much are your volunteers and your canvassers getting that on the ground? Because my media colleagues and my TV colleague, Rory Carroll, who's been following Micheál Martin and all of his canvasses thus far, says that when people are coming up to him outlining their concerns or their complaints about how Ireland is being run, they're not holding Fianna Fáil responsible for it.
Yeah, well, maybe there's a little bit of that, but at the same time, we have a lot of people who are saying, you know, Fianna Fáil are complaining about what the government is doing at the same time as they are the very ones that kept them in government to do those things for the past 4 years. So, you know, sometimes the intelligence of people, you know, is greater than I think they might display when they're actually talking to a party leader on the street. We have a thing in Ireland where people are inclined to be, I suppose, very, very polite and nice and don't want to say anything wrong and you know, thank you very much, I know you're fine and go off. But if you're talking to them privately afterwards, they have a different story. Or if they're talking to a political opponent, they may have a different story. Mm. That counts for all of us.
Does that slightly undermine your story that you're getting a very warm reception on the doorsteps, though, if people are more inclined to be polite to you?
Well, I know that. That's what I'm saying. It counts for all of us. You know, we used to say when we were canvassing, you know, you can only believe half of the people half of the time. And there is a little bit of that. But at the same time, we do detect that by people, not just when you go to them, they're actually coming to us across the street, saying hello, welcoming. When you're handing out leaflets in a shopping centre or something, people are looking a little bit suspicious. Then when they see the Sinn Féin leaflet, they're prepared to take it. Whereas from the other parties, you'd know by them, they'd be shying away and running on. So I think there is a slight change and a slight shift. We are always conscious that these things happen slowly. And particularly in Irish society, you know, big shifts happen in small incremental steps. And I think that's what this election is going to be. It's going to be a slight change, and hopefully it'll be a change for the better and we'll move forward.
Okay, let's talk about your own brief, which is that as spokesperson for justice. Obviously, the first couple of days of this campaign have been completely dominated and to a grave extent overshadowed by a lot of the criminal action that we've seen in North Dublin and also in Drogheda. What would be your party's proposals to get to the bottom of that and to stop a further escalation?
Well, I think, you know, we're always conscious that these communities that have to live through the brunt of all of this are communities of decent people. I think there was a report done by, I think it was Johnny Connolly recently from Limerick University. They reckoned only 1% in these areas were those that were involved in crime, and 99% of people were decent people trying to go about their daily business. And they are victims of all of this as well. So, you know, we really need to focus in on where the cause of that problem is and where those 1% that are, if you like, the people that are involved in the crime and that are the very dangerous people that are out there murdering and killing and using drugs as their means of making vast profits and, you know, are an absolute scourge and the whole violence that comes from that. And I think we have to, you know, have a very hard and tough line on those, and the Gardaí need to be given every resource they possibly can to be able to go in there and sort that out and sit on these people and find them and take them out of it.
What is a hard and tough line on those sorts of criminals? What do you have in
mind? Well, the hard and tough line is we need to have, you know, we have the armed response unit in many parts of the country now. I think we need to bump that up. We need to make sure that they're able to go in there and deal with it quickly. That they in general, the intelligence is there. We know who these people are. In many cases, they are, if you like, family groupings that are involved in some of these crimes and some of these major institutions that have become what they are now. And if we're going to deal with it, you know, we need to have the kind of response that there was after the murder of Veronica Guerin many years ago, where the Gardaí actually sit on these people and take them out of it. But there's also another side to it. You know, in some towns around the country now, we see these juvenile gangs actually going around on bicycles, 12 and 13 and 14-year-olds robbing people in little groups. Mm. And in a few years' time, they'll be the very ones that will actually be murdering people and cutting up the bodies, just as we've seen in the last couple of weeks. So we need to find a way of getting in early, of being able to deal with this early. We also have a huge problem where, you know, the crime and punishment side of it is about catching the criminals and putting them away in jail. But then what happens after that? And as a society, I think we need to have a conversation as to how we can build a structure to ensure that we can nip this at the butt and stop it and stop the cycle, because it becomes cyclical in many of these communities.
Sorry, Marcus, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but there's a few things to unpack in what you've just said there. Firstly, your comment about 14 or 15-year-olds around on bicycles and how that might escalate. I mean, I don't mean to defend any sort of criminal behaviour at all, but the instance that we've seen in the last couple of days is the first time that anyone can remember where we've had a body, in your own words, cut up. Is it not a little bit ham-fisted to suggest that every gang of teenagers going around on bicycles escalates to that?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that that is the potential that can happen. And I think if we were able to deal with low-level crime at an earlier stage and deal with it better through better resources in communities, that will require social workers, it will require youth liaison officers, it will require community policing. It requires that the community have a trust in the Gardaí. And in many of these communities, there is a fear of a Garda Síochána, that there is a reward for being a law-abiding citizen rather than just a punishment for not being one. And I think that's what we need to see. We need to see that change happen. That will cost money, it will take resources, and it's not just Garda resources. We have to have, I think, several different sectors of society coming on board here. We need to have the community sector coming on board. We also need to have, for instance, revenue and customs and social welfare and all of those agencies come around the table for to build a task force for to look at where these criminal activities are happening and how they can target them in other ways, apart from just a criminal sector of it, but in other sectors as well. We need to be able to target in there and work on that. But we also have, of course, the issue of drugs and what's going on there. I mean, people who are taking, and I hate this word recreational drugs because it sounds like, you know, a playground. It's not. It is the use of dangerous, illegal drugs that people are using. And many people in middle-class communities are using these drugs and they are feeding their habit is what's causing the other side of it, the very ugly side of it, where we see all these murders and terrible situations happening.
As regards deterrence,
we need to deal with that. You know?
As regards deterrence, though, for people who are already in the criminal trade, one of the ones that currently exists and to try and make sure that there is a certain amount of justice, and it's been part of the furniture now of criminal justice in this country for almost 50 years, is the Special Criminal Court. Now, we all remember the focus that there was on Sinn Féin's position on the Special Criminal Court 4 years ago, particularly in the wake of the Regency shootings. There was a suggestion from your party leader, Mary Lou McDonald, in the last couple of days that your party may be open to reviewing that policy. Is that true, or where do you stand now in the Special Criminal Court, given that it's only a few months since you voted against its renewal in the Dáil?
Well, the fact is that, you know, that's where many of these gangs end up, is in front of the Special Criminal Court. And, you know, the most important thing is that they're taken off the streets, the gangs are broken up, and the communities are protected. That's what we want to see happen. You know, people out there are living in fear. You know, we stand totally behind the Gardaí and local communities and the courts in dealing with this. Now,
Does that include the Special Criminal Court?
That particular court, you know, came into being, as you say, over 50 years ago. It's if you like, a 19th century implement to deal with 21st century crime. And I think, you know, we need to have a review. And in fact, it was in 2017, we sought a comprehensive review of all those emergency legislations to see how that could be dealt with and improved in some cases, and in some cases looked at.
But what does seeking a review mean? I mean, a review takes a while to process. So in the meantime, do you uphold the court as it currently stands, or the next time around in the new Dáil, will Sinn Féin TDs vote against its renewal again?
We have talked about, you know, that it is multifaceted, the reasons for all of this criminal behaviour and these terrible things. One court or one particular implement of law is not going to be the silver bullet to solve it, and we all know that. Mm. Now, the Special Criminal Court has been there for many, many years, and yet we have this situation happening.
But
it is the only thing that will work. It's quite wrong. There are many other areas.
And that's fine, but at the same time, it's very difficult to prosecute any of these people with jury trials because of the process of intimidation. And indeed, there's some reporting in today's papers about how some of the people who are suspected of killing Kiel Mulready Woods have been able to drop prosecutions before because of certain witness intimidation. What I'm trying to get to the bottom of is that it's been very...
Special Criminal Court is not a non-witness court.
No,
it's a non-jury court.
I know, and I... I understand that, Barbara, but the point I'm trying to get to is that previously your position on the Special Criminal Court was always very clear-cut, and now Sinn Féin is talking about the need for some sort of review or a broader review of how all these things are done. What I'm trying to get to the bottom of is when this position changed.
We recognise the need for special courts, but not special courts that have no jury. That is the difficulty. The fact that there's no jury in that particular court means that there are issues there. In many, many other jurisdictions, even in America, we've seen one of the major mobsters last week convicted in a jury court. You know, the jury side of it is the problem we've got, and it's a problem that we recognise and understand. However, we need to deal with looking at this in the broader context and dealing with the overall criminal legislation which will deal with these people effectively. There's huge issues, much more issues about ensuring that witnesses can be protected than there is about jurors being protected, and that particular piece of legislation doesn't go there at all. So, you know, we need to look at this in the round, as I said, and that's what we're proposing should happen. And I think the vast, vast majority of people would agree that we need to come up with new 21st century solutions for these problems.
But you're still saying you have a problem with non-jury courts, and that therefore, in its current guise, you're still opposed to the Special Criminal Court.
As has the Labour Party, and as many other agencies across the country, has a huge problem with that particular piece of legislation, because it is an emergency legislation which needs to be reformed and reviewed and brought into the 21st century.
Would that be a red line for Sinn Féin coalition or participation?
We're not putting red lines on anything. No, we're not into red lines. We're into building a programme for government which we will be able to sign up to, which will create a better society for all of our people, Gavin. And that's not just in the criminal aspect of it, but also in housing and in health and everything else.
Okay, fine as that may be, if you don't have any red lines, then how can anyone have any faith in what Sinn Féin might be able to extract from coalition partners? I mean, for example, I thought a border poll was a red line previously, no? You're saying red lines?
We're saying we have no red lines, because red lines are dangerous things to have. That's the reality. What we're saying is we have a very strong position on many, many issues, including the issue of a border poll. I think it's going to happen anyway. It's not just a red line for Sinn Féin. You know, society has moved in that direction. A united Ireland is an inevitable conclusion of history. Everyone knows that. You know, whether we have a red line or not isn't going to make it or stop it. The reality is it's going to happen. The other issue in regard to everything else is Sinn Féin is a party that has very, very strong team in Leinster House. People look at Pierce Doherty, they look at Louisa Riley, they look at Owen O'Brien, they look at many of us in there. We're fighting the corner for ordinary people, and we want to create a different society. And people recognise and understand that. And just because we don't say, oh, it has to be this or has to be that or has to be the other, doesn't mean that we're not going to be firm and we're not going to set the bar very high for Irish people to get a better society. We're entering a new decade now, and this is a decade of opportunity for to do things right and to change.
How do you feel you can enter into any government when, as we know, pretty much every other party in Leinster House has ruled out working with you?
Well, the other parties in Leinster House rule out everything at different times. You know, realpolitik would change that.
Do you think that the results of the 33rd Dáil will mean that all of those previous pledges about not governing with Sinn Féin will be thrown out the door?
Absolutely.
We'll leave it there. Sinn Féin's Martin Kenny, party spokesperson on justice. Thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.